Okay. So, last 2 weeks we've been discussing the first major limitation to Malachas Bishul, which was the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. We saw the idea that if you cook something one time, then you can reheat it on Shabbos. That's how we reheat our food on Shabbos, because once it was cooked once, you could reheat it a second time. And now tonight we move over to our second major limitation to Malachas Bishul, and that's going to take 2 more weeks, this week and next week. And emerges from next week, we're going to, I guess, be Messiah the whole year. We'll finish Malachas Bishul and we'll finish this year's Limud. So, okay, so that's the agenda for now. So, as we've discussed in the past, we know that the Malachas Bishul is all about changing a substance through heat. It's about applying heat to change a substance. You know, you take something raw and you cook it. So what are you doing in essence? You're changing that substance through heat. That's the yisod of Malachas Bishul. And now, what we're going to see is that our second limitation to Malachas Bishul is that there are going to be certain regulations as to the type of heat that violates Malachas Bishul, the type of heat that needs to be applied to food or to any substance in order to violate Bishul, that not all heat was created equal. There's certain types of heat that are a problem, certain types of heat that are not a problem. That's that's going to, you know, in a general sense, is going to be our second limitation to Malachas Bishul. So with that overview, let's now start developing the basic facts on the ground to set up the basic rules for the types of heat that are going to be a problem. So it goes like this. So obviously we know for a fact that we know the most obvious type of heat that would be a problem is a fire. If you take a piece of raw steak, you throw it on an open flame. So obviously that would be a type of heat that's going to be a problem of Malachas Bishul. Now, if we move over to the Mishnah Alam Tesom Abayz, the second Mishnah Alam Tesom Abayz, so the Mishnah there tells us one more detail, which is going to help us, another detail that's going to help us start building a picture as to the type of heat that's a problem of Bishul. The Mishnah there brings up the following case. Let's say you have a pot that was on the fire and it becomes very hot. And let's say you take the pot off the fire and this pot is still steaming hot from the fire. And you take a raw egg and you roast the egg, you know, by putting it next to this pot. You take this raw egg, you put it next to this piping hot pot, and that causes the egg to cook. So the Mishnah and the Gemara there spells out that that's going to be chayav for Malachas Bishul, that this is going to fit under Malachas Bishul. Now, in this case, you're not actually cooking the egg in a fire, you're cooking it in this hot pot. Yet the Mishnah is telling us that this violates Malachas Bishul. So we see from this halacha another principle as we're putting together the rules of Hilchas heat, the type of heat that's a problem of Bishul. And that is that in this case, since this pot derives its heat from fire, ultimately, how did it get its heat? From a source of fire. And so it's what we call toldas ha'or. It's a derivative of fire. The heat of this pot comes from fire. That also violates Malachas Bishul. That Bishul is not limited to an actual open flame, but even if the flame transfers its heat to some other medium like a pot, and you use that hot pot away from a fire, you take the pot off the fire, it's still piping hot, you cook something in that pot, that's what we call toldas ha'or, a tolada, an offspring of fire. It derives its heat from the fire. That also violates Malachas Bishul. So that's what we see from the second Mishnah, Alam Tes Amabez. And now, as we continue building up our facts, we move over to the Mishnah, Amkuf Memvav Amabez. The Mishnah there now tells us another halacha, which is helping us to paint this picture as to the halachas of heat in terms of Hilchas Bishul. The Mishnah, Amkuf Memvav Amabez, tells us as follows, that it's mutter to cook in the sun on Shabbos. If, let's say, it's a scorching hot day outside, you're in Death Valley, California, and it reaches piping hot temperatures, and you take an egg outside or take something outside and you're able to cook it in the sun, so that's perfectly permissible. That is not going to be a problem on Shabbos. It's absolutely mutter to cook in the sun on Shabbos. That's the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav Amabez. And finally, one last detail just to put together the picture. So we've seen that cooking in a flame is a problem. A derivative of fire is also a problem. Anything that gets its source of heat from fire is also a problem. And the sun, we're saying, is not a problem. Cooking in the sun is not a problem. The last piece of the puzzle is, what about a derivative of the sun? Let's say it's a scorching hot day outside, and you take out, the case in the Mishnah is a handkerchief. You take out a handkerchief in the sun, and it gets really, really hot in the sun. Then you go inside, and you still have this boiling hot, this piping hot handkerchief, and you crack an egg, and you fry the egg in the handkerchief. So what would the halacha be in this situation? So this is called toldos hachama now. We now have a medium that's deriving its heat not from fire, but from the sun. So what's the halacha when it comes to toldos hachama, a derivative of the heat of the sun? So here we go back once again to the Mishnah Lamentes Amam Beis, the second Mishnah Lamentes Amam Beis, and the ensuing, the second Mishnah Lamentes Amam Beis, and the ensuing Gemara there on Daf Lamentes. And it comes out there as follows, that on a Deraisa level, this is perfectly permissible. On a Deraisa level, this is perfectly permissible. There's no issue with cooking in a derivative of the sun. Just like you can cook in the sun itself, so too in a derivative of the sun, there's no problem on a Deraisa level. On a Derabanan level, there's a Mechlokes Tanoim. The Chachamim hold that this was outlawed mid-Derabanan. The Chazal were concerned if we let you cook in this handkerchief heated up by the sun, well, you might confuse that with a handkerchief heated up by a fire. It's very easy to confuse. Once you're using a medium that's off the fire and out of the sunlight, so how are you going to know which one it comes from? How do you know it comes from the sun? It comes from a fire? That's a very confusing piece of information that can get very lead to problems. So mid-Derabanan Chazal disallowed using a tolda of the chama. You can't cook in something that comes from the sun. Whereas Rabbi Yossi argues and says that no, tolda sacham is perfectly permissible, not only mid-Deraisa, but even mid-Derabanan. So these are the basic facts on the ground here in our second general qualification to Malacha Bishul. We're pointing out that our second limitation to Bishul in a general sense is the type of heat that needs to violate Bishul. There are going to be regulations as to the type of heat that violates Bishul. And now we're building up the basic facts. We're pointing out that you certainly using a flame, an open flame, would be a problem of Bishul. And anything that's a derivative of fire, a tolda of or, any offspring of fire, like a hot pot that was heated up by the fire, is a problem of Bishul. When it comes to the sun, so cooking in the sun is perfectly fine. And cooking in a derivative of the sun on a deraisa level is perfectly fine. But on a derabana level, there's mechlokes tanoim as if that was prohibited or not. Fine. So those are the basic facts on the ground here in this sugya. And now there are two big time issues that need to be discussed, which are going to be the topics for tonight and for next week. So I'm just going to outline the two issues, and then we'll zero in on tonight's issue. So the two issues that we have to deal with are as follows. The first issue, which is tonight's topic, is going to be to figure out why is cooking in the sun okay? Why is it not a problem of Bishul to cook in the sun? So that's going to be the topic for tonight. And then next week, we're going to focus in on cooking in fire, that although cooking in fire typically is a problem, but that's also going to have regulations when it is that a fire-based heat is a problem, and when is it going to be that a fire-based heat is not a problem, i.e. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, those types of principles. So that's all, those are refinements to a fire-based heat, when it is a problem, when it's not a problem. So that's the goal for tonight and for next week. Okay, any questions just on the general outline? We're good? Yona, that's not good social distancing, Yona. you got to take a lesson from Penny. Fine. Okay.
Couldn't help myself.
Okay, so let's zero in on tonight's topic. So tonight's topic is to figure out why is cooking in the sun okay? Bishul Bechama we saw is perfectly moter mid-Deraisa and even mid-Rabbanan. And even cooking in a tolda of the sun, if you heat something up in Death Valley, California, you go inside, you cook on that in that medium on the handkerchief. So that's also mutter on the deraisa level. It's only potentially usher mid the rabbanan. And the question is why? Why is it not an issue of Bishul when you cook in the sun? So that's the goal for tonight. So Rashi on Daf Lamentes Amud Aleph addresses this issue, but he says something that we have to figure out what Rashi meant to say. So let's start by saying the words of Rashi. So Rashi says like this, that the reason cooking in the sun is okay on Shabbos, doesn't violate Bishul, is because it's not the normal way to cook. A person doesn't normally cook in the sun. A person normally cooks in fire. Those are the facts. And so that's why cooking in the sun is not a problem of Bishul. That is Rashi's explanation for why Bishul Bacham is mutter. It's shalok kederach. It's not the normal way of cooking. And the question is, what did Rashi mean to say? And why is it that cooking in the sun is not a problem of Bishul? So the simple interpretation of Rashi, the pashup shot, off the cuff, would be to say as follows. We know, in general, when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, that there's a great modifier to the Isra Malacha, which is the concept of Shinoi. That whenever you do a Malacha in a manner that involves a Shinoi, that's unorthodox, that's not the conventional way of doing something, so that always downgrades the severity of the Malacha. The Isra Malacha is about productivity, about doing a Malacha in a productive way. If you do it backhanded, Kalach Rayad, it's lacking in productivity. That's not going to be Asr Deraisa. And so that would, off the cuff, be the simple interpretation of Rashi. If Rashi's telling me that the reason cooking in the sun is not a problem of Bishul is because it's shalok kederach, it's not normal. So the intuition, at first glance, what Rashi would seem to be doing is just invoking the classic tour of Shinoi. Rashi's telling me that, listen, cooking in the sun is simply not normal. That's not a normal way to cook. You're cooking in an abnormal way, and that's why it's not going to be an issue of Malachas Bishul. That would be the simple interpretation of Rashi. However, the Achronim raised a number of difficulties with this simple pshat in Rashi, and we're gonna focus in on one of them, just one main issue pointed out by the Eglay Tal. The Eglay Tal points out just a very blatant problem with this simple pshat in Rashi, and that is that we know the halacha is that when you do a malacha in a manner that involves a shinoi in a backhanded manner, so while it is true that that's not going to be usher on a deraisa level, but it's typically usher midderabbanan. You do a malacha ide shinoi, so midderabbanan, that's typically usher. So if Rashi's telling me that cooking in the sun, that the only reason it's not an issue of Bishul is because of the classic heter of shinoi, that it's a backhanded way of cooking, well, then it should still be usher midderabbanan. It's true, that would explain why it's not deraisa, but it should still be a problem midderabbanan. We know the halacha is that cooking in the sun is perfectly permissible. It's not just usher, it's not just permissible on a deraisa level, it's mutter midderabbanan as well. So if this was just the classic tour of shinoi, it should not have been mutter on a derabbanan level, but we know that it is. So that would be a serious difficulty with this pashup shot in Rashi. So this pashup shot in Rashi does not seem to be satisfactory because of this kasha of the Eglay Tal, amongst other kashas that the Achronim raised, but this is just one blatant problem with this explanation of Rashi. And so we need to look elsewhere to figure out, so what taki is the pshat in Rashi? Why is it mutter to cook in the sun? So there's a machlokas haposkim on this issue between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe. Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe had a machlokas how to interpret this Rashi, and there are some very interesting outflows and afkaminas in this machlokas. So let's go through the two basic approaches that the poskim came up with for how to interpret this Rashi, how to explain why is it that cooking in the sun is permissible. So let's start with approach number one, the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is in the Mincha Shlomo, in the Shas and Shuvas, from the Mar Makomos. So Shlomo Zalman himself addressed this issue. So he says like this, that the reason that cooking in the sun is going to be permissible, is not an issue of Bishul, is based on the limitation to the definition of cooking in Halacha, or certainly on Shabbos. The definition of cooking is going to have a certain limitation, and that's why it's mutter to cook in the sun. And that limitation is that cooking is defined as cooking in fire. That says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the halacha's concept of cooking al pi halacha, is cooking in fire. Not any heat source, specifically fire. If you find some alternative heat source that's able to produce fire, that's able to produce heat, that's not going to satisfy the definition of Bishul. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, cooking al pi halacha is defined as cooking in fire, not in any alternative heat source. And so that's why cooking in the sun is permissible, because although I guess chemically speaking, the sun is also, I guess, a type of fire, but from our perspective, the sun is just an entity in outer space, and we don't treat that as a fire, it's an independent entity. The sun is not considered to be a fire, and therefore that simply doesn't satisfy the definition of Bishul. It's true, on a scorching hot day outside, you're doing an act of cooking, but you're not cooking in fire, therefore it doesn't satisfy the definition of Bishul. That is how Rav Shlomo Zalman explained the heter of Bishul B'chama, why it's mutter to cook in the sun on Shabbos. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't really explain how to read that back into Rashi. How do you read this explanation into Rashi that there's limitation to the definition of Bishul, that only cooking in fire is Bishul, not alternative sources of heat? But the point would seem to be as follows, that what Rav Shlomo Zalman would say is that Rashi's giving us the explanation, the reason, why is it that the Torah limited cooking in this way? What's the ta'am behind why cooking is defined as cooking in fire as opposed to other sources of heat? And the reason is because of the normalcy, that normally people cook in fire, people don't usually cook in the sun, and therefore the Torah took that into account in setting up the definition of cooking, that when the Torah set up the definition of cooking, it did it based on the normal circumstances of cooking, and so it defined cooking based on fire, not based on alternative sources of heat. That would seem to be how Rav Shlomo Zalman would interpret the Rashi, in line with his general explanation here in this sugya. So that is approach number one, the Shita of the Mincha Shlomo, why Bishul B'chama is mutter on Shabbos. Any questions? Okay, fine. Penny, are you in the tent or in the bays? Okay. They set up a tent on Landers outside. Okay. It's very chilled out. Okay, fine. So let's come over to the second approach now, which is the approach of the Igros Moshe. Ramosha gives a different interpretation of this Rashi, which ultimately is going to have nafkaminas lahalacha. So let's go through Ramosha's shot now in Rashi. Yeah. Okay. 1 second. Okay. So Ramosha says like this. He says that it's true that if you talk about the Av Malacha of Bishul, the original act of Bishul in the Mishkan, so the Av Malacha of Bishul is going to be cooking in fire. You know, we know the Av is the specific act that took place in the Mishkan. And certainly in the Mishkan, when they did their act of cooking, they cooked in fire. They didn't cook in the sun in the Mishkan. But Sefer of Moshe, we know that there's a concept of toldos on Shabbos, that different activities that didn't take place in the Mishkan are also forms of malacha. We learn them out as being forms of malacha based on their similarity to the avos, that the lamentes malachos are 39 categories, but we have a whole slew of toldos, which we learn out from the avos based on their similarity. So says Rav Moshe, there's no reason why we can't learn out alternative heat sources as forms of bishul, as being toldos of the av. It's true, the av is limited to fire, like Rishon LeZalman had said. But why can't we have a tolda of bishul that is a different form of heat? If you have a different heat source that's not a fire that you used to cook, let that be a tolda of bishul. Says Rav Moshe, this is what Rashi was contending with. Rashi was bothered by this issue, that indeed, there's no reason why we can't learn out a tolda of bishul as being other forms of heat. And so Rashi was bothered, why is cooking in the sun not learned out as a tolda of bishul? The av is cooking in fire. But let's learn out cooking in the sun as an alternative source of heat as a tolda of bishul. Rashi is explaining why we can't do that. Because since cooking in the sun is not a normal way of cooking, so it's lacking in a similarity to the av. The av of bishul, cooking in fire, fire is a heat source that's normally used to cook in. The sun is a heat source that's not normally used to cook in. So with the sun, it's not so similar to the av. This isn't a good tolda, because a tolda has to be something that's similar to the av. But the av is something, is a heat source that's normally used for cooking. The tolda, the attempted tolda, we're trying to derive cooking in the sun, that's a heat source that's not normally used for cooking. That's not similar enough to the av. The tolda has to be learned out based on its similarity to the av. This is not similar enough to the av. That's why we can't learn this out as being a tolda of bishul. But it's coming out according to Rav Moshe that bishul is not limited to cooking in fire. There's no limitation to bishul according to Rav Moshe that you specifically have to use fire as your heat source. Any heat source that's normally used for cooking can be derived as a tolda of bishul, even if it's not a fire. It's just that there's a technical problem where we can't learn out the sun. The sun is a heat source that's not normally used for cooking. That's not similar enough to the av. That can't be derived as a tolda. But in principle, says Rav Moshe, if you could find a heat source that is normally used for cooking, that's not a fire, we could derive that as a tolda of bishul. That would be a problem of bishul on Shabbos. So what we're coming out with now is two basic approaches in the poskim, how to explain why is cooking in the sun not a violation of malachas bishul. Rashi ultimately was telling us the pshat, but we have to figure out what is the pshat in Rashi. Rashi says something about it not being normal. But the question is, what was the pshat in Rashi? So we have two basic approaches in the poskim. The first approach is the approach of Rishon LeZalman, that is simply there's a limitation to the definition of bishul. Cooking in halacha, certainly by Hilchos Shabbos, is cooking in fire. Any other heat source is not called cooking on Shabbos. That's not the definition of cooking. The sun is not the definition of cooking. And that's how Rishon LeZalman explains this halacha. Whereas Rav Moshe says that no, there's no limitation to bishul that a dafka has to be a fire. Any heat source in principle can be learned as a tolda of the av. However, says Rav Moshe, a tolda has to be similar to the av. If it's a heat source that's not normally used for cooking, that's not similar to the av. That can't be derived. The sun is not normally used for cooking. That's why it cannot be learned out as a tolda of bishul. Okay, so that's the basic machlokas of Rav Moshe, Rishon LeZalman, for how to explain this Rashi and why bishul b'chama is mutter. Any questions before we get to the nafka minas? Okay, fine. So we're gonna discuss now two interesting nafka minas in this machlokas to Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Moshe. The first nafka mina is as follows. The question becomes whether cooking in a microwave would violate melechus bishul on Shabbos. Let's say you take a raw piece of meat, raw piece of food, and you cook it in a microwave on Shabbos. So would that violate melechus bishul? Now, obviously, there are other issues with microwave, the electricity shabbat, but we're going to leave electricity aside and just focus on the bishul aspect to the shayla. The question is cooking in a microwave going to violate melechus bishul? Why wouldn't it violate melechus bishul? So one could argue that maybe we should compare cooking in a microwave to cooking in the sun. Because how does a microwave work? It sends out these electromagnetic waves at the food that's in the microwave. And these electromagnetic waves heat up the water molecules inside the food. And that's how it causes the food to heat up. That's how a microwave works. So it comes out that the heat of a microwave is not derived from fire. This has no association with fire. It's just these electromagnetic waves that are somehow, you know, magically heating up this food inside the microwave, not based on fire. So maybe we should compare this to cooking in the sun. Just like cooking in the sun is mutter because it's not based on fire, so too, perhaps cooking in a microwave should not be an issue of bishul because of the fact that it's not using any fire-based heat to heat up the food. That's the question that comes up. So the post can point out, and we're going to see that the Rav Shlomo Zalman and Moshe really spelled this out themselves, that this is going to be nafkamina in their machlokas. So let's plug it in. starting with the Shita of Rishon Mazalman. So Rishon Mazalman basically spells out that cooking in a microwave would not be a problem of Bishul on Shabbos, because cooking in a microwave is not using a heat source of fire. Rishon Mazalman said that Bishul is limited to cooking in fire or a tolda of fire or a derivative of fire. Anything based on fire would be a problem of Bishul. Any alternative heat source that's not based on fire is not a problem of Bishul. Therefore, says Rishon Mazalman, cooking in a microwave is not going to be a problem of Bishul on Shabbos. There's still an issue of electricity Shabbat, but we'll see there are nafkaminas that come out of this stance of Rishon Mazalman, that he held that cooking in a microwave is not considered to be an act of cooking that would violate Melechas Bishul on Shabbos. On the other hand, moving over to the Shita of Rav Moshe, so Rav Moshe spells out very differently. What was Rav Moshe's Shita? Once again, Rav Moshe said that really the reason you can cook in the sun is not because there's a limitation to the definition of Bishul in Halacha. Bishul is not limited to a fire-based heat source. Any heat source that's normally used for cooking can be derived as a tolda of Bishul. It just happens to be that the sun is not a heat source that's normally used for cooking, so we can't learn out the sun as a tolda of Bishul. But if you find some other alternative heat source that's normally used for cooking, that would be learned out as a tolda of Bishul. That would be a problem of Bishul deraisa. And Rav Moshe spells this out in his classic Hebrew transliteration of English. He says microwave with a vav, microwave oven, he says. Moshe spells out that he thinks that a microwave oven would be a problem of Bishul, because this is a normal way of cooking. And so it's true, it's not a heat source derived from fire, but this is a normal way of cooking. And therefore, we learn this out as a tolda of Bishul. Cooking in a microwave would be a problem of Bishul deraisa. So this is all our first nafkamina, which is just the academic nafkamina for now, is just whether cooking in a microwave would violate Melechus Bishul. Rishon Mazalman says that this would not violate Melechus Bishul. It's not a heat source coming from fire. Whereas Rav Moshe spells out that a microwave would violate Melechus Bishul because it doesn't matter if it's not fire. L'maisa, it's a normal way of cooking. Yeah,
are you? Yeah, I remember that tshuva. I haven't seen it in a while, but at the time Rav Moshe wrote that tshuva, it was when microwaves weren't as common as they are now. And I think at the time, if I remember correctly, he was somewhat forecasting that this was something that was going to almost replace the oven and was going to become a very normal way of cooking. I think I've heard people say more recently that even nowadays, if Moshe was presented with a shayla, he wouldn't necessarily say that a microwave would be deraisa, because nowadays it's not exactly the normal way people cook. Usually people still don't cook in a microwave. Okay. They maybe heat things up. So maybe lemaisa might be different.
So Remarcus Taka just made this point to me a week or two ago. I was discussing this with Remarcus, and he made that exact point that you just made, that Moshe, he spells out in the tshuva that at the time it was not widespread, but it's a very normal way of cooking, and when it becomes more available, so more people will use it. He does spell that out in the tshuva. And the question becomes whether that would change nowadays. It is still a utensil that's normally used, and there are raw items that are made in a microwave. Water is, very often boiled in a microwave. People make eggs in microwaves. There are other foods that are cooked, raw in microwaves. A baked potato, I don't know, whatever. So, there are things people make. So the question becomes, it's a chink in the pshat of Moshe. You want to use a sniff, like a tzira, if you're trying to build up a heter. So, we'll throw that in as a heter that maybe Moshe would have backed out. The straightaway approach is that maybe he wouldn't have backed out. It's still a normal way, utensil that's normally used to heat up food, even certain raw items like water, hot cocoa, whatever, milk. Milk is pasteurized, but whatever. But that's a point that is made, which, we're trying to build a defense to be matir something, so we'll throw that in, to help be matir something. But yeah, that's a very good point. Excellent. Penny, did you have a question?
Yeah, so if you're shows, you won't be able to put something in a microwave on a black.
Okay, so that's the practical application of this first nafkamina. So this first nafkamina seems to be a little bit academic. Either way, you can't use a microwave on Shabbos. So who cares whether it's Bishul or not? But there are a few practical applications of this first nafkamina. So one practical application of this nafkamina is what Penny just pointed out. So we discussed this 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. But the practical application could be that if you take something raw and you cook it in a microwave, so can you reheat that on a blech on Shabbos? If let's say you take going ham to cook in microwaves a lot more than Jews. But just to be simple, even though it's not a practical example, but if you cook a piece of meat in a microwave, let's say, and you want to then reheat it on Shabbos on a blech, so can we invoke the heter of Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul? That, listen, we know that there's a rule that if something was cooked once before, you could reheat it again on Shabbos. So if you cook something in a microwave and you want to reheat it on Shabbos, can we say in Bishel, Achar Bishel, since it was cooked one time before, now I'm cooking it again on Shabbos, in Bishel, Achar Bishel, should that be permissible? So one issue that has to be contended is this Machlokas or Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Moshe, that according to Shlomo Zalman, if cooking in a microwave is not called Bishel, then it could be that the first time you cook that steak, that's not called a first act of Bishel. When you reheat that steak again on Shabbos and the Blach, that could be a serious problem. So one practical application of the first Nafka Mina, as Pini is pointing out, is if you cook something in a microwave, can you reheat it on a Blach, might depend on Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Moshe, that according to Shlomo Zalman, it'd be more problematic because the first act of cooking, it's not really called cooking. Whereas according to Rav Moshe, the first act of cooking is called cooking, and it certainly could be subject to Im Bishel Achar Bishel. So that's one practical application of this first Nafka Mina. A second, little less practical application of this first Nafka Mina is pointed out by the Shulchan Shlomo. The Shulchan Shlomo quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman as making another point, which is just a practical application of his psak. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that if, let's say, you have a chol sheyesh bo sakana on Shabbos, and a sick person has a life-threatening illness, so now you're allowed to do malach for them on Shabbos, and you have to cook for them on Shabbos. So it says Rav Shlomo Zalman, cook in a microwave. If, in the spur of the moment, you need to cook really quickly, and someone's very sick, and you need to cook for them, so it's better to cook in a microwave than to cook on the fire, to cook in your oven, because at least in a microwave, you're mitigating the severity of the iser. So that's another practical application of this psak. The Rav Shlomo Zalman was l'shitaso, since he held that cooking in a microwave was not a problem, neither isa of bishul, so cooking in a microwave would mitigate the severity of the issue, and that would be a beneficial thing to do, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, which obviously, according to Rav Moshe, that would not be beneficial, barring Arya Gottlieb's taina on Rav Moshe's practicality nowadays. But okay. So that was all Nafka Mina number one between Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Moshe. Any questions? Okay. So now we come over to Nafka Mina number two. And the second Nafka Mina is less practical, but it has some very interesting contextual background information. And there is a certain insight that comes out of it that is relevant to Lahalacha. So, okay. So Rav Shlomo Zalman once contended with a certain halachic issue, which is not so relevant nowadays, but there's the alumnus behind the issue he dealt with is important to know. So we're going to first just analyze the actual issue he dealt with, not the context behind the issue, but just the halacha that he dealt with. And then after we analyze the halacha he dealt with, we'll take a step back and discuss the context of where the shaila arose. The issue Rav Shlomo Zalman raised was as follows. This was many, many years ago, and this was before 1953, and I'll tell you how we can figure that out, but this took place before 1953, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was contending with the following contraption. Let's say a person takes two pieces of metal, and he attaches it to electricity, and he puts these two pieces of metal in water. Now, as soon as you take these two pieces of metal that are connected to electricity, and you put them in water, so the water is going to complete the circuit, and stand back because the water is now going to get electrocuted and boil and, transmit this electricity, which is going to cause the water to boil. So that's the contraption that Rav Shlomo Zalman was dealing with. Afterwards, we'll discuss the context of the shaila, but this is the shaila that arose. So if you use this contraption, these two metal rods connected to electricity, and you throw it into water on Shabbos, and then you recommend standing back, and the water gets electrocuted, so would that violate Melechus Bishel on Shabbos? If this contraption would be used to cook water on Shabbos, would that violate Melechus Bishel? That's the question that Rav Shlomo Zalman contended with many, many years ago. So it's been pointed out that this issue, once again, the analysis of this issue is going to be connected to this Machlokas Rav Moshe versus Rav Shlomo Zalman, and somewhat depend on this Machlokas to be a little bit of a Nafka Mina. So let's first spell the Nafka Mina, and then we'll take a step back and discuss the context of the Shiloh. So it goes like this. Starting with the sheet of Shlomo Zalman, so he holds that Bishel is limited to cooking in fire and not alternative sources of heat. Now, in this situation, so what's cooking the water in this situation? You have these two pieces of metal, you throw them into the water, and that completes the electric circuit, and the electricity gets transmitted through the water. In this case, it's the pure electricity itself, the raw electricity that is cooking the water. There's no fire that's actually cooking the water, it's electricity. Electricity does not have the status of fire in halacha, at least says Rav Shlomo Zalman. And so therefore, when you have this electricity cooking this water, this is an alternative source of heat that's cooking the water. And so says Rav Shlomo Zalman, this would not be an issue of Bishel on Shabbos, certainly not Midaraisa. That's that That's what Shlomo Zalman said, that this would not be a problem of Bishul Midaraisa, because you're not cooking in fire. You found this alternative source of heat. This is just pure electricity cooked in the water. That's not going to be a problem of Melechus Bishul. On the other hand, moving over to the Shita of Rav Moshe, so the analysis of this case would be different. According to Rav Moshe, so the as to if this would be okay or not in terms of Bishul would depend on the normalcy. Is this the normal way of cooking? Is this not a normal way of cooking? Now, obviously, nowadays, no one uses this type of contraption, so nowadays, this would certainly not be an issue of Bishul, according to Rav Moshe, just like cooking in the sun is not normal, so we can't learn that out as being a problem. So, too, this contraption nowadays would not be a problem. But in the context of Rav Shlomo Zalman Shaila, which we're going to discuss, so he was contending a certain situation where this might become a norm. And if this would become a norm, well, then in Rav Moshe's perspective, that would be a problem. So this is our second afkamina. We're pointing out a second afkamina is, would this contraption, this electrocuting water, would that be a way of circumventing Melechus Bishul? Rav Shlomo Zalman was contending that this would circumvent Melechus Bishul because you're not using fire. Whereas according to Rav Moshe, so in the Shaila of Rav Shlomo Zalman, where this would become a norm and a way of avoiding Bishul, so that would not be a good way of avoiding Bishul, because if this becomes widespread, well then this would be a problem of Bishul because we're not limited to fire. So that's our second nafkamina. Okay, yeah, Mordechai.
Like electric burners, does that have any application?
Okay,
that's a common thing to use.
Okay, so that's a very, very interesting point. So if you have a metal coil that heats up, that's considered to be fire. A metal coil that heats up is considered to be fire. So even though it's electric, once the coil gets really, really hot, that has a din of fire on Shabbos. And that's why incandescent bulbs, for example, which are really just a filament of metal that gets really red hot, many posts can consider that to be a form of fire in halacha. So that's a good point, but that everyone would seem to agree that that would be called fire. We're discussing pure electricity. Pure electricity is cooking in this water, so that's not fire. As of right now, that's not considered to be fire, and so that's why it would be enough kamina in this machlokes. Any other questions?
Doesn't the water end up technically acting just like the filament? It's the thing that the electricity is making hot, and the problem is that it's heating up the water, right?
Yeah. Okay, so you're right about that, Mr. Cohen. But there's this specific halacha by metal. That red hot metal is called a fire. That there's something about metal that when metal is made red hot, we consider that to be a fire in halacha. As opposed to water, even though the water is burning hot, that's not called a fire. So when electricity,
like the original Chassam Sofer Psak in this area was because the filament, metal.
Absolutely, 100%, exactly. By incandescent bulbs, so they say over. I think Rav Chaim Ozer used to say Abdullah on them to display the point that right.
So that's very interesting because Thomas Edison experimented with about 1,000 different potential filaments, and they were not all metal.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to do some research.
I just read tonight, actually, that Thomas Edison first used bamboo. Well, not first. It was one of the ones he used was bamboo.
Did it work?
Second one. Yeah, it stayed lit for like 30-something hours, I think.
Okay. Interesting.
Something like that.
Okay, geschmack. But okay, so be that as it may. So metal, for whatever reason, maybe we'll get to Malach of Mavir. So that's a discussion. But metal, red hot metal has the status of being a fire in halacha. So that's why a coil, even electric coil, an electric burner, that would be considered to be fire, or an incandescent bulb. Even poskim that say not to use other types of bulbs to make a bracha on, which is the machlokes. But if it's incandescent, you're more likely to be able to make for halakas neiros if on Friday night. So if you don't have if you have alternative light sources, so there's big machlokes about that. But if it's incandescent, so we're more likely to let you make a bracha on that. In that situation, Rav Soloveitchik's father, I believe, held that you could do any, even non-incandescent, because he held that it's about light, it's not about fire, but whatever that is. But either way, fine. Okay, so that's all our second nafkamina. Any other questions before we get into the context? Okay. So what was the context of the Shaila? So the context of the Shaila was as follows. There's a big time issue that comes up in hospitals, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, that hospitals have to deal with the chol sheyesh bo sakana, these ill people who are reached the point of being considered to be, their lives are in danger. And so hospitals obviously have permission to do melacha on Shabbos. Even a Jewish hospital is certainly allowed to do melacha on Shabbos to take care of all these people who are in desperate need. Now, that being said, obviously, when there's mass melacha taking place, we always want to mitigate the melacha as much as possible. It's, you're supposed to do as little malacha as possible, it's perfectly permissible. It's a mitzvah to violate Shabbos to save somebody's life. But at the end of the day, you're supposed to mitigate the malacha as much as possible. And certainly in a halacha, certainly in a hospital where there's widespread malacha being performed, so it's very important to come up with a procedure to mitigate malacha as much as possible. Hatzalah members also, so they need to be taught how to, on a whim, to do as little malacha as possible. So the issue Shlomo Zalman was trying to deal with was to figure out how can we minimize Malachas Bishul on Shabbos as much as possible. These hospitals are performing Bishul every single Shabbos for all these Chol Sheish Basakanas. So what can we do to mitigate Malachas Bishul? So this is where he came up with this contraption to try to help things out. Again, this is before 1953. I guess maybe the microwave was not invented yet. So he's trying to figure out how can we get hospitals to not have to have widespread Bishul. So says Shlomo Zalman, he came up with this idea, use this contraption. We're gonna spread the word, teach the hospitals to set up this electric unit, attach these metal rods to these electricity source, boil water with it, throw it into water, and cook in that water. And we've just saved all this widespread malacha special from being performed at a deraisa level. And that was the solution Shlomo Zalman contended with to save the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael from violating widespread malacha special. So he writes there in the Minchas Shlomo that he went to the Chazon Ish with this psak halacha. And that's how we can date this discussion, because the Chazon Ish died in 1953. So if he went to the Chazon Ish to discuss this halacha with the Chazon Ish, so it took place before 1953. And now we understand why he's using this weird contraption and not just using a microwave. If he holds a microwave, it's not deraisa, so that would be a simpler solution than using this contraption. But be that as it may, so that was the solution he came up with. He went to the Chazon Ish with this psak halacha, and he told the Chazon Ish that, let's teach the hospitals to cook with these metal contraptions. We'll sell it, we'll market it, I guess we'll patent it, and we'll call it the Shabbos cooker, I don't know, and we'll it'll be in Gift World, and we'll mitigate halacha, we'll mitigate all the malacha that's violated by this situation. That's what Shlomo Zalman said to the Chazon Ish. So he says, he writes there in the Mincha Shlomo, that the Chazon Ish argued on this psak halacha, that the Chazon Ish said that this is not going to help, and this is not going to mitigate malacha's bishul. Why is it not going to mitigate malacha's bishul? So the Chazon Ish says like this. He says that we know from our sugya tonight that bishul is not limited to a flame, not limited to fire itself, but even a tolda of fire is also subject to malacha's bishul, a derivative of fire. You take a pot and you heat that pot up on the fire and you take the pot off the fire. So this pot is what we call a tolda of or. It's an offspring. It has heat that comes from a fire. Says the Chazon Ish, we know from our sugya tonight that a tolda of fire is also subject to malachas bishul. Everyone agrees to that not just the flame, but even a derivative of fire, an offspring of fire, is subject to malachas bishul. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, just like a tolda of fire is subject to bishul, so too an ibur of fire is subject to bishul. Ibur, like a meuberis, a pregnant, like a pregnancy. An ibur, that which gives birth to fire, something that gives birth to fire, is also subject to bishul. So just like the offspring of fire, this pot that was heated up by the fire, is subject to bishul, so too a progenitor, that which gives birth to fire, is also subject to bishul. Now electricity, even though electricity in and for itself is not fire, but it's something that gives birth to fire. Electricity very often creates fire. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, that this is considered to be fire in halacha. Even working the Shita of Shlomo Zalman, that bishul needs fire, and you can't use an alternative source of heat. Chazon Ish argued that electricity itself, pure electricity, would still be a problem. Because just like an offspring of fire is a problem, so too that which gives birth to fire, electricity which gives birth to fire, is also a problem. So Chazon Ish said that this is not going to be a good solution to save the hospitals. Let me just finish the back and forth, then we'll take the questions. So that was the Chazon Ish's argument with Shlomo Zalman. And then Shlomo Zalman writes, he says that yaldas haisabi, that childish, I acted a little childish, and he's telling us this give and take with the Chazon Ish. He's giving us his autobiography here, this account with the Chazon Ish. He said, I acted childish because I was very astounded by this psak. He was very perplexed by this psak, the Chazon Ish. He didn't understand it. So he said that he kind of just, blurted out to the Chazon Ish that, this is something that we need a Rishon to say. You need a Rishon to say as far like that. We can't say such a big chiddush that there's a concept of something that gives birth to a fire. The Gemara says that this concept of a tolda of fire, but something that gives birth to a fire, that should be called that should also be subject to malachas bishul. You need a rishon to say something like that. He admits that it was childish to say this to the Chazon Ish, but he said that to the Chazon Ish, and he says that the Chazon Ish responded by saying that you don't need a rishon to say this. You don't need a rashba. It's pashit. So that was the Chazon Ish's response to Shlomo Zalman. And at the end of the footnote, Shlomo Zalman says that even years later, he still never understood the Psak of the Chazon Ish, why that should be considered to be subject to Melechus Bishul, where the Chazon Ish got this idea from, that there's a progenitor, this thing that gives birth to fire. Okay, Yonah, yeah, your questions?
Sorry about that. My question is then why, the sun theoretically could give birth to fire as well.
Okay, so I'll be honest. Ben Halish and I were discussing this tonight after Minchas Maariv, trying to figure out what the Chazon Ish meant. What did he mean when he said that electricity gives birth to fire? I don't know exactly what he meant. I guess electricity is a certain force that very often can create a fire. I guess the sun also can create a fire if you take a magnifying glass and try to, shine it on something. But electricity is a certain force that, more typically can give way to creating fire. So that's a fair point. I don't fully understand what the Chazon Ish meant per se, but that's what he says. But yeah, but certainly the sun is less used to create maybe it technically can create a fire, but certainly electricity is more likely to create a fire than the sun. Any other questions? Penny?
Okay, so
Mitzvah Shem, probably next year's Limud, after Sukkot, we'll discuss this, probably should be Perek Abona. We finished the first 11 Malachas, but the many more Malachas out there that are very practical. So if we do Perek Abona, so that we'll get into the Machlokas of Shulmazan with Chazon Ish about electricity, about that Malacha. So we'll have to hold off on that one. But for now, yeah, we'll leave that aside. But I was thinking about that, Penny. So I guess we'll have to analyze that. Because Mamish, the Shulmazan and Chazon Ish have Machlokas on electricity. So we'll have to discuss that, Mirz Hashem. Any other questions? Okay, so let's just quickly summarize. That's it for tonight. So tonight we began our second major limitation of Melechus Bishul, the type of heat that violates Bishul. And specifically tonight we're focusing on cooking in the sun. We saw that cooking in the sun does not violate Bishul. And the question became why? So Rashi said because it's not normal. But the question was, what was the Pshat in Rashi? Does he mean the classic heter of Shinoi? Well, Shinoi is usually also the Rabbanan. So Rashi can't mean that Lechora. So Rosh Hashanah or Moshe HaMachlokas had to interpret the Rashi. Rosh Hashanah said that there's just a general limitation to Bishul. Bishul needs fire, and any other heat source is not subject to Bishul. That was the sheet of Rosh Hashanah. Ramosha says that no, Bishul is not limited to fire. Why can't you have a Tolda? Anything that any heat source could be learned out from Bishul, as long as it's normal. But if it's not normal, so then we can't learn out as a Tolda. It's not similar to the Av. Cooking in the sun is not normal, and so it's not similar to the Av. That's why we can't learn it out as a Tolda. And we point out two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina is we're using a microwave. So a microwave is using an alternative heat source that's very normal, though. It's not fire, but it's very normal, at least somewhat normal, barring Aryeh's points. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman basically spells out that that's not going to be a problem of Bishul, according to him. Whereas Ramosha says that, according to him, it would be a problem of Bishul. We pointed out some practical applications. One would be, if you cook something in a microwave, can you reheat it on a blech on Shabbos? So can you say, ein Bishul achar Bishul, that it was cooked one time, and then I'm cooking it again? Or perhaps, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it wasn't really cooked the first time around, so maybe we can't say, in Bishul Achar Bishul. So that would be one practical application. And the second one is Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that that if there's a chol sheish bo sakana and you must cook on Shabbos, so do it in a microwave, it'll mitigate the severity of the issue. So that was one practical nafkamina. The second nafkamina, which was less practical but very interesting, was this contraption of Shlomo Zalman of electrocuting the water to cook the water. Would that violate Melechus Bishul? To point it out that off the cuff, there should be an afkamina between Rosh Shlomo Zalman versus Ramosha, that according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he spells out that this is not an issue of Bishul because you're not using fire, you're using pure electricity. Whereas according to Rav Moshe, so in the world of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, if we spread this to all the hospitals and we created the Shabbos cooker, in this contraption, so then that would be an issue of Bishul. It's not going to circumvent Bishul because any normal heat source is a problem of Bishul according to Rav Moshe. And then we pointed out the context of the Shaila, where Shlomo Zalman wanted to spread this to save all the hospitals, I guess, in Eretz Yisrael from violating Malacha. But the Chazon Ish argued that even according to Shlomo Zalman, it's not going to help, because just like you have a concept of a tolda, of an offspring of fire, so too a progenitor of fire, something that gives birth to fire, is also a problem of Malacha's Bishul. Okay, thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and next week we'll finish up the year's Limud. And Shkayach, thank you very much.
Shkayach, Rav Chanoch.
Shkayach, Yonah.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you
for joining us.